comparative culture program, at least in part a product of the social ferment of the 60s, focuses on the experience of all races, cultures, and classes, which more traditional departments have neglected or distorted. Comparative culture seeks interdisciplinary approaches to area and ethnic studies. We have thus far in our four-year history concentrated on some of the badly neglected objects of social and cultural study, such as Black and Chicano culture, as well as upon traditional American studies. We have also concentrated on area studies not represented elsewhere on this campus, Asian, Latin American, and African studies. We are simultaneously developing new methods of cultural and social analysis, combining theories and critical perspectives from humanistic and social science disciplines. The diversity of comparative culture, however, goes well beyond the coexistence of different intellectual points of departure. As the only truly multi-ethnic, multi-racial faculty, staff, and student body on this campus, we can bring a wide range of cultural experiences to bear upon our scholarship, our teaching, and our personal relationships. Some of us come from the streets, others from the suburbs, and still others from distant countries. These rich human resources are the bases of our intellectual strength and of our unity of moral purpose. They are at the same time the ultimate source of our uniqueness. We are in many ways one model of the future of the Academy, one which allows the various peoples who made this nation to examine their histories and to participate in the building of a more just society. Comparative culture can engage in educational experiments more easily than traditional academic units, since we are committed to striking a balance between historical perspective and contemporary relevance. In fact, most of us believe that the major importance of developing historical perspective is to achieve genuine contemporary relevance. We are committed to using knowledge in a variety of personal and public ways to equip ourselves and others to participate in badly needed social change. All of these factors compel us to experiment with new ways of learning and teaching, in particular to re-examine the idea that current forms of classroom instruction constitute the only avenue to higher education. We have begun to develop new programs and educational structures that simultaneously engage the student in the here and now and teach him more sophisticated modes of understanding, evaluating, and valuing his experience. For example, let us suppose that a comparative culture major spends a portion of his junior year working as a teacher's aide in a Santa Ana elementary school. He is faced with certain obvious imperatives. He must learn to teach. He must improve his Spanish with or without formal courses. And under the guidance of a professional and one or more faculty members, he should also begin to learn about child psychology, the structure and functions of the educational institution, and the larger social context of which it is a part. All these can be pursued through experience on the job, through programs of reading, evening seminars, and the like. We thus begin with ourselves and move out into wider social and human contexts.
In terms of talking about comparative culture, I should go back to my original reasons for coming to the University of California at Irvine some 5 years ago. At that time, I was very excited by the opportunity to look at the ethnic and minority cultures of America from a variety of points of view, from points of view of persons like myself who are psychologists, from points of view of people who are social critics, from historians, from sociologists, from people in languages, and it was a chance to join a community of scholars who all began to look at the minority cultures of America from their particular disciplines. I was also very excited by the opportunity to take a look at new forms of instruction involving field study, involving small seminars with undergraduate students, involving various counties throughout California and the like. As I look at what's happened to my students over this five-year period, I would say that the bulk of them have gone on to graduate school in disciplines such as psychology, sociology, government, on to professional schools, law school. We've even had one student who combined his comparative culture with biological science and is now a second-year medical student. I like the opportunity to work closely with small groups of students and not have to lecture to groups of 100, 200 students, and I can continue my relationship with a student through a given 4 years of study and follow his course on into the work world or on into the world of higher education. My own area is black psychology, and I'm trying to develop a small cadre of students who will do further research in this area and so on.
Working in the capacity as counselor for the program, I have a rather unique perspective of what goes on. I work closely with both faculty and students and view my most important role as that of being a liaison between the faculty and students. Within the program in comparative culture, one finds an innovative group of students with wide-ranging backgrounds and interests. At present, there are approximately 200 undergraduate majors, which is a relatively small group compared to other units on campus. A number of people are under the impression that comparative culture is a major for minority students, when in fact, comparative culture has majors from all ethnic backgrounds, American Indian, Anglo, Asian, Black, and Chicano. And as backgrounds are varied, so are the students' interests. Because we have a multi-ethnic, multiracial faculty, which is also interdisciplinary, students are afforded the opportunity to seek out and develop a wide range of academic interests. Having been a graduate of UCI myself, in one of the more traditional departments, I find that comparative culture reflects more of what a university should be, a place where one learns to think analytically, learns how to ask relevant questions, and is then free to seek out answers. By free, I do not mean without guidance, for certainly comparative culture is the only unit on this campus that I know of where professors are available when students need them. Not only are they available, but they are anxious to work closely with students, whether on individual projects, curriculum planning, career goals, or just a good idea. I think that one of the most important parts of an undergraduate education, and perhaps one that is not emphasized enough, is counseling. Students are oftentimes busy with just being a student and do not have time to keep abreast of the fields in which they are studying, or with career possibilities, or simply with grading policies and procedures. These and other reasons are why counselors are on campus. Each student in the program has a faculty advisor with whom he or she can discuss career opportunities and academic and personal goals. In addition, there is a general academic counselor who is available for quarterly program planning, career information, and the like. There's also a peer academic advisor who, because he or she is a junior-senior student, can give other students pointers in all areas. One of the reasons I feel that comparative culture students are active and academically persistent is because counseling, at all levels, is an integral part of our program. A question that is asked by every student is, what can I do with a BA degree in comparative culture? Certainly, the answer to that question depends on the individual student and his or her goals. Students should realize that it is how he makes the major work for himself that makes a BA significant. In general, comparative culture prepares students to pursue any career requiring direct or indirect human interaction. Apart from affording an opportunity to secure an elementary or secondary teaching credential, it also prepares students for community service at all levels, local, state, national, and international. For those who plan on attending graduate and professional schools, the major adequately prepares students for such areas as law, government relations, political science, literature, and so on. Some of our recent graduates are enrolled in such institutions as UCLA Law School, University of Pennsylvania's PhD program in American Civilization, Harvard's Graduate School in Special Education, and UCLA's Master's of Social Work program, just to give you an idea of the different directions our graduates have gone. Students who have not gone on to graduate school have taken jobs such as counselors within the community, writers for magazines, teachers in preschools, and other community service jobs. To sum it up, I feel that the program offers a sound background in sociocultural studies and for any career in the related fields.
There are a number of reasons why I'm a comparative culture major, but I guess that the most important one is that in comparative culture, I feel as though the work I do will ultimately be reflected in something important. It is not that the papers I write or the discussions that I have with faculty are going to change the world, But nonetheless, I see each class and each conversation as a small contribution to my knowledge and to the knowledge that is available to everyone else. To me, that's important. If a person learns anything in college, it is that man hasn't reached his present state of development simply by chance. Civilization, in one sense, is the constant throwing off of ignorance in favor of knowledge and rational choice. I suppose that's a little esoteric, but basically that's what it's all about. Of course, there are a lot of less complicated reasons for studying comparative culture. One thing that impressed me when I first started taking comparative culture courses as a freshman was that the classes tended to be small and intimate. One doesn't have to worry about talking to faculty, because the faculty are always glad to talk to students. It's nice to walk down the hall and see that the office doors are open, and know that if I needed to, I could step into any of the offices and speak with the professor. This helps a lot when I'm working on a paper, because I know that I can talk to professors, other than the one I'm taking the course from, and get suggestions on resource materials, as well as helpful criticism about the paper itself. I think that a large part of the program's value lies in the ability of the faculty and the students to combine successfully the informality of their student-teacher relationships with a program of study that is academically rigorous. The coursework is not easy, and the faculty expects a great deal from each student. The fact that students get to know the faculty means, for me at least, that students want to work harder and do a better job than if they were simply working to get a grade. The greatest benefit of comparative culture, though, is the material that is taught and the subjects that the faculty are interested in. The way I see it, comparative culture is the only academic unit in the university today that offers courses that have immediate social relevance to the lives of the students. The things that a student learns in his classes are often directly applicable to his or her daily life. For example, I just recently took a course in American ideologies. For me, the benefit from the class was that it gave me a theoretical as well as practical explanation of the way that political movements work in American society. In short, it gave me the ability to put the things that I was reading on the front page of the newspaper into their proper ideological perspective. At Irvine, comparative culture is the only place to find classes on U.S. race relations, the political economy of the barrio, and black psychology. It is in these classes and others like them that students confront the issues and problems that are currently pressing on today's society. From my point of view, there can be nothing more important than the search for solutions to these problems. And I think that this is what comparative culture tries to do. It tries to give the student the necessary training to work with these issues in an intelligent and rational manner. In order to give the student a wide range of intellectual experiences, the program is increasingly offering more field studies, seminars, and opportunities for research projects. During this past quarter, comparative culture students worked at an elementary school and a community mental health clinic. Both of these were in Santa Ana. The advantage of field studies is that they get the student out of the classroom and into real-life situations. In conclusion, each student takes away from comparative culture a commitment to make a better and more egalitarian society.
I have many reasons for participating in the comparative culture program. Speaking as a student, I think the most valuable insights to pass on to those joining us is simply this. Education is of itself a life-involved process, and college is not the completion of that process, but only its very beginning. Here lies the opportunity for you to develop your human potentials and the educational tools necessary for experiencing life at its fullest. Here's a time in which a foundation can be established that will enable an understanding of and answers to the many whys that surround us daily. Here's a chance to become exposed and receptive to the vast interdisciplinary aspects of culture and the multi-ethnic groups which require constant attention and interaction. The Comparative Culture Program and its faculty prepare you to meet as well as give you a challenge in education. If it cannot give you these answers, it will help you find them. And once you've found them, you're motivated to asking more. As a student in the program, I've learned how to carry on this process. At the risk of sounding pretentious, I am seeking to understand and wherever possible explain the ways of man to man. Perhaps this is comparative culture at its best.
Comparative culture at its best is embodied in its youthful and prolific faculty. Its members maintain the high tradition of excellence in instruction and research that has become the hallmark of the University of California. We are speaking of D.D. Bruce, Ph.D., University of Pennsylvania, Folklore and Folk Religion of the South. Pete Klikak, PhD, Stanford, Post-World War II Social Criticism and Study of the New Left. Raoul, PhD, Claremont, Studies of Multinational Corporations and Economic Implications of Narcotics. James J. Flink, PhD, University of Pennsylvania, The American Automobile and Its Cultural Impact. Gil Gonzalez, MA, California State University, Los Angeles, Historical Study of Los Angeles Educational System and Its Impact on Chicano Children. Charles Igawa, MA, California State University, Los Angeles. George Kent, PhD, Berkeley, Chinese Intellectual History and Literature. Karen Leonard, PhD, University of Wisconsin, East Indian Social Systems and Women in Higher Education. O. Bhatia, PhD, Oregon State University, Economic Systems of Africa. Carlos Munoz, PhD, Claremont. George O. Roberts, PhD, Catholic University of America. D. Tashtian, PhD, Brown, American Arts, Especially the Avant-Garde. And Joseph White, PhD, Michigan State, Black Psychology and Early Childhood Development.
An interdisciplinary program combining perspectives from the social sciences and the humanities. A multi-ethnic, multiracial community of students, faculty, and staff focusing on the experience of dominant cultures and of neglected cultures. An innovative experiment combining work and study, theory and action. This is comparative culture.